This is special election coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio leading into the August 9th statewide primary. Today we'll hear from the Republican primary candidates running for the 23rd and 29th State Senate and 68th Assembly districts. Now Shireen Seward talks with the primary candidates for Wisconsin's 23rd State Senate seat.
The 23rd Wisconsin Senate District is located in northwestern Wisconsin. It includes all of Chippewa County, most of Clark County, as well as eastern Eau Claire, eastern Dunn, and western Marathon County. Parts of northwest Jackson County and northeast Trempealeau County are also part of the 23rd District. Here with us now to speak about his candidacy is Jesse James. He is one of three Republicans vying for the seat. He currently represents the 68th Assembly District in Wisconsin. Jesse, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about yourself. What's your background? Why are you running?
Well, I'm the current 68th Assembly State Representative, and, you know, this is an opportunity for me, and I believe in taking advantage of opportunities that exist in front of us as candidates or anybody else. Anybody can take a run for any campaign throughout the state and nation. And, you know, this would be a promotion per se, moving to the upper house of the Senate. And, you know, I put the 4 years in the legislature, gaining institutional knowledge. My first term, I just pretty much look, listen, and learn. And then last term, this term that we're in currently, I was able to get some really good things done, and I'm looking to carry that momentum with me into the 23rd Senate seat.
So if you're elected to the state Senate, what would your top priority be as a legislator?
Well, yeah, that's so number one top priority, goodness. What I'm hearing at the doors right now is obviously everything involving the economy, the inflation. I think we saw like a 9.1% rate of inflation here in June. It was a lot higher than expected. Our families are suffering right now. We're living paycheck to paycheck, and anything that we can do to help tackle the economic strain that all of Wisconsin residents and communities are feeling, I think that's vital. We need to get things going again and start helping the people keep the money in their pockets so that they can live and move on from this recession that we're in right now.
Certainly, everybody is talking about inflation. Everybody's talking about the economy. Are there certain steps that you think that the legislature could take that would help the people of Wisconsin?
Well, I think, you know, continuously looking at tax policies, any type of tax relief is going to help save money in our pockets in the long run. I think looking at the tax reforms to help benefit our Wisconsin citizens' hard-earned dollars, as well as looking at any type of funding that we can help with employees, the retention of employees, getting new employees, especially, you know, to help those with the over-the-road truck drivers, the garbage haulers. We're facing a huge garbage issue up in this neck of the woods right now. Manufacturing, farming, medical services, everything. It's just any innovative ways that we can help bring the relief, the workers, to where we can save dollars at the same time is going to be a huge win for Wisconsin.
Well, I think everybody would agree that Wisconsin has a rather divided government. And how can a divided government like the one that we have right now with competing goals and values serve the people? And where do you see opportunities for bipartisan cooperation on big issues?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good question. You know, one of the things at the doors that I'm sharing with people in divided government, you know, they said that we'd be lucky if we got things done. I'm proud to say that through the 68th Assembly District office this session, we were able to get 9 companion bills through, 12 bills total. 3 of them were vetoed by our governor, but 9 of them were signed by our governor. And what it takes, with me being the only active law enforcement officer, I have 21 years of law enforcement experience now, and we learned to mediate, we learned to negotiate, we learned to compromise, we learned to talk. and it begins with communication. We have to have effective communication, professional communication, all through the state legislature into the executive office so that we can have these discussions and bring forth the best ideas which benefit our Wisconsin citizens and residents. People are tired of the division. People are tired of the fighting. People want to see things get done. And I'm proof that even in divided government times, with the bills that were signed by our governor through divided government, that's what I'm going to carry with me into the Senate. And it truly begins with effective professional communication. And people have to be willing to sit down at the table and just simply talk, not scream and yell. Let's just talk.
What do you think that the Wisconsin legislature should take? What action should it take in light of the recent Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade? This has been a big topic of discussion lately.
Yeah, my emails, text messages, Facebook, everything's blown up with this question. In our statutory language right now, there is statute in there that has abortion on the books as a state statute with the mother's protections inside of it. I think that should remain into our statute. We've had it in there for a long time. I know there's some debate on how antiquated it is, but there's more language in there in our state statute that is antiquated as well, but it's the law. And until we take a deep breath and realize that as a state, we need to look out for the best interests of those in these types of situations, I would leave the mother protections in there. We need to have the discussions on what it looks like for our sexual assault victims being in law enforcement. I investigated these types of cases, and they're extremely sensitive. And the victim in these cases, as well as their family members and other decision makers involved in that, they're the ones that have to make the decision on how to move forward with that type of situation. I don't think as a legislator I have that right. And we need to take the totality of the circumstances of how this would affect women throughout our entire state.
Let's talk a little bit about education. Strong schools are most certainly the key to a healthy economy and workforce. So what do you think legislators should do to ensure that students have access to the highest quality primary education possible?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we need to get broadband available for all of our students. I think that's the biggest issue and hurdle that we face as Wisconsin residents, and to provide the best technology resources that would be available. We saw this during COVID. I think if we can get broadband into our schools, that's definitely going to assist and continue the funding. Contrary to what people say, there was a lot of money that went into our schools through the CARES Act funding, through the ARPA funding, the ESSER 1, 2, and 3 funding that went into our schools. And that helped the schools as well as our continuous dedication through our budget. I want to say about 37% of our overall state budget goes into our education systems. And I think that every year we've made the increases into it, and we'll continue to do so that we can have the education systems funded. But we also have to understand that our report card for Wisconsin is hurting as well. So I've heard some rumors about some new reading and spelling programs coming into the state. I think that would be vital. We need to look at things, and we need to address the things to where, 63%, I believe, of our fourth graders aren't at reading level. And we need to look at overall the big picture of all of this to make sure that we can keep pace with the other states in America as well as in the world.
We've got about a minute left together, and I want to give you the opportunity to share the things that separate you from the other candidates. What do you want voters to know about you when they head to the polls?
Well, I'm extremely excited to have this opportunity, very blessed to be able to run for the 23rd Senate District. This is an opportunity. I take advantage of opportunities. Being the only active law enforcement officer, being the police and fire chief from Altoona, my mindset is public safety and what we can do to make sure our communities are safe, how we can continue looking at the drugs invading our state and our nation. The mental health issues that exist. Senator Bernier and I were able to get these mental health beds, the expansion going up here in the Chippewa Valley, and look at the overall model of that and look how we can implement that statewide so that our families who are suffering with mental health crisis, behavioral crises, can remain closer to home instead of being 4 hours away from their families. You know, overall, public safety is my mindset. I'll always back the badge. That is my honor. I still wear the badge today, and that's it's extreme pleasure to do so. So I bring the public safety element mindset to Madison, and I'll continue to do so as the 23rd Senator.
Thank you, Jesse James, Republican candidate for Wisconsin's 23rd Senate District, for joining us today. Here now to speak about his candidacy is Brian Westright, one of three Republicans vying for a seat at the table in November. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us about yourself. What's your background? Why are you running?
Well, born and raised in Eau Claire. I live in Fall Creek with my wife and our kids now. I'm a 22-year small businessman in the city of Altoona, and I'm a 22-year political activist in Republican politics in the area. I've helped a lot of folks win elections, and it's one of the reasons why I have the endorsement of Governor Walker is because, you know, we became friends while I was helping him win elections and doing everything I could on that fourth one. So I'm running because it's time to have conservatives down in Madison who are actually going to work to put government back in where I believe it should be.
So if elected, what will your top priority be as a legislator?
Well, my top priority right out of the box is going to be doing everything we can at the state level to battle inflation and the rising cost of goods and services here in Wisconsin. We can do that through regulatory reform, through tax reform, and through business operation reform. And so that's top priority. Then there are three things I'd like to do, you know, start working on day one, being universal school choice. I think we need that. Making it so that, again, we can shrink government in other areas so that we can put monies and resources back into law enforcement across the state. And then the third thing being, I'd like to see there be an age at which property taxes are indexed to income or go away altogether. I do not want another elderly Wisconsinite to lose their home to the government.
You talked about the economy, inflation, that's on everybody's mind right now. Are there some specific things that you think the legislature could do right now to address those rising inflation fears?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we need to reform the unemployment process. Again, some of these ideas I've gotten while going door to door talking to voters. Ran into a you know, multi-location business owner in Chippewa Falls last weekend who was sharing with me the challenges that they have with the unemployment process and employees coming, working for 5 days just long enough to be able to go get back on unemployment, even though they quit, they weren't fired. And you know, another thing that, you know, talking to a farmer wants to buy his family's small herd farm operation, can't afford to do so because there is a regulation that if the ownership changes hands, the connection between the milk tank or the storage tank and the milking parlor has to be retrofitted with a stainless steel weld that costs an average of $22,000. So just there's a lot of areas where government regulation and overreach are adding costs to the bottom line of our businesses, making it harder to attract and retain employees. And I think that we need to take a holistic approach to adjusting those things so that businesses can get back on track and hopefully get the supply chain issues worked on and also the employment issues worked on so people can get some goods and services back in line with where the prices should be.
The government in Wisconsin is quite divided. Where do you see opportunities for bipartisan cooperation on the big issues like natural resource management and personnel, dealing with PFAS in our region's drinking water or mining? How can a divided government with competing goals really serve the people?
By starting out with what the goal is, the goal of all legislators, be they Democrats or Republicans, should be to better serve the people, to make government work more effectively and more efficiently for the needs and the demands of the voters. And if we start with that goal and then work backwards from there and acknowledging that, you know, we're all people, that we're doing these things for the right reasons, we ran for office for the right reasons, be we Democrat or Republican, that we can have conversations and learn from each other. See, one of the things, I have never learned something from someone who knows only what I already know. I learn things from talking to people who know things I don't know, who see the world in ways I don't see it. And that is how we grow and develop. And so I think through focusing on the goal and then working together and having conversations where we help inform one another and increase each other's perspectives, I think we'll be able to more effectively pursue that goal of providing for the people of Wisconsin the government that they desire and that they demand.
And do you see solid opportunities for that to happen?
I think so. I mean, I think that, again, having knocked on thousands of doors, I think that having knocked on thousands of doors, people are kind. People are good. Democrat, Republican, Independent. I'm able to have positive conversations with people across the board. And I think that we have this notion of divided government or of rancorous politics because we now live in an online environment so often. And that online environment is just incredibly fictitious. It's not really the way that people interact with one another when they're standing next to each other or face to face. And so I think absolutely there are going to be opportunities, Democrat, Republican legislators, to work together when I get down to Madison and, again, broaden each other's perspectives, broaden each other's knowledge base, and then put that all together to pursue what the people of Wisconsin want us to do.
Another hot button topic right now in Wisconsin and across the country is abortion. What action do you think the Wisconsin legislature should take in light of the recent Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade?
Well, I am 100% pro-life. I think that the 1849 bill, or excuse me, law that exists and became enforceable following the Roe versus Wade decision, or the overturning of Roe versus Wade, went into effect. I think that there are going to be some in-depth, difficult conversations that happen in the state legislature in this next session as folks bring up suggestions for reform or adjustment of that 1849 law. Again, I am 100% pro-life. I believe that an unborn baby is a human life worthy of the protection of law. I'm fairly unbendable about that because either you believe it's a human life worthy of protection of law or you don't, and I do. But I think it's going to be very important that we have individuals, again, willing to think and listen and dialogue with others, assuming that everybody has the best interest of the people in mind, so that we don't see one another as enemies. We don't see one another as opponents. We simply see one another as individuals, as coworkers, who are willing to have conversations as we seek to create legislation that will meet the needs of the people, in this case as well with abortion. So I am 100% pro-life, and I look forward to keeping Wisconsin a state where unborn humans are protected by the rule of law.
I'd like to touch briefly on education. What do you think legislators should do to ensure students have access to the highest quality primary education possible?
We need universal school choice. I am 100% in favor and will push for universal school choice. I say that as both the son and husband of public school teachers. I have nothing but respect for the profession. But the fact of the matter is public schools have had a near monopoly on education for over 100 years. Competition is good in the private sector marketplace. It's where better products and services come from that better meet the needs of consumers. In this case, the consumers are parents. The children's education is the product. And I think that more competition in the marketplace will force public schools to become better at their jobs and will also allow parents choice in education that meets the needs of their students, the needs of their family, and now will be available to people who aren't just wealthy enough to be able to pay it out of pocket. The average cost to educate a child in the public schools in this state is right around $13,000. The average cost to educate a student in a private K-12 school in Wisconsin is right around $4,000. For me, universal school choice is a win-win-win if our focus are parents and students rather than the educational industrial complex.
Got just under a minute left, and I'd like to just give you the opportunity to share the things that separate you from other candidates. Or what do you want voters to know when they head to the polls?
Well, there is no Democrat in this race, so the Republican primary is the opportunity to pick a new state senator for the 23rd Senate District. The beautiful thing about a Republican primary, in my opinion, is a Republican wins. But that being said, I believe that my opponent views government or a problem and thinks, how can government solve it? I view a problem and I think, how did government cause it? My goal is to get government out of the way of people and the private sector so that we in community and as individuals can solve our own problems without getting 133 people in Madison involved.
Thank you, Brian Westray, Republican candidate for the 23rd Senate District in Wisconsin, for joining us today. The primary in Wisconsin is on August 9th. I'm Shereen Siewert. You're listening to special election coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Sandra Scholes of Chippewa Falls is also running in the Republican primary for the seat. Candidate Scholes did not respond to our invitation to appear on this program. Turning now to the 29th Wisconsin Senate District, the district encompasses all of Rusk and Taylor counties, along with most of Sawyer and Marathon counties, and parts of northwest Clark County and northern Wood County. Here with us now to speak about his candidacy is Brent Jacobson, one of three Republicans in the race. Brent maintains a full-time law practice and is currently serving his fourth term as mayor of Mosinee. Mayor Jacobson, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start off with just an opportunity for you to tell us about yourself, your background, and why you're running.
Sure. I am born and raised in Mosinee, Wisconsin. It's a fantastic community. I have been honored to serve the citizens of Mosinee for over 7 years as their mayor and have been honored to move forward with our community. We've done a fantastic job expanding the economy, creating jobs, and all the while keeping property taxes under control for the citizens in my community. I've also been honored to serve on the Marathon County Board. I am a past county board supervisor, formed some great relationships with fellow public servants while on the county board, and I believe we did some great work during my time in office. I also maintain a full-time law practice in Stevens Point. I'm a practicing attorney now for approximately 12 years, and I practice in civil litigation. And I live in Mosinee with my wife and our just over 5-month-old daughter. So that is a little bit of background on Meet Brent.
Well, terrific. Thank you so much for that. If elected, what would your top priority be as a legislator?
Well, as I talk to citizens at the doors in the 29th State Senate District, I'm finding that the main concern on their minds right now is the state of the economy. Obviously, we have record high inflation, record high producer price index, record high gas prices at the pump. Grocery prices are up. I know myself as a father, it's been difficult finding baby formula as it has for many parents. So the economy is front and center on voters' minds coming into this election, and it's front and center on my mind. I know that one of my top priorities will be to look at what we can do to move our economy forward in the state of Wisconsin. And I believe, and I've believed for some time, that one of those things is looking at the personal income tax. There are states in our union that don't have a personal income tax, such as Florida. And if you look at the growth in those states over the past years, it's expanded. And certainly, I think Wisconsin is losing out in the economic battle with others in our union who don't have a personal income tax. So one of my top priorities would be looking at how we can reduce, if not eliminate, the personal income tax in the state of Wisconsin.
So speaking of the economy, and you just mentioned that one of your legislative steps would be to talk about the personal income tax. What steps can be taken at the state level overall to addressing rising inflation and fears of a recession?
Well, I think some of the steps that we can take at the state level is looking at what history tells us. And history, I think, has told us in not only the state of Wisconsin, but in the United States, that pumping more money, printed money, into the economy is a driver of inflation, especially in this environment, which is rather unique in the sense that with the economic crisis that started with COVID-19, we had a very fractured supply chain. We had people out of work. And when you mix those two factors in with pumping more money into the economy with the intent of trying to stimulate it. I am a strong believer that, unfortunately, what it does is exacerbates the problem. And certainly we can look back at the lessons we should learn from this time period going forward as we move policy forward in Madison. And should we come into a crisis like this again, I think we really need to think long and hard about not only shutting down businesses, which I think was a mistake, but the money that we pump into the economy that may have the intent of stimulating it, but I think just exacerbates the problem.
Where do you see opportunities for bipartisan cooperation on big issues such as natural resource management and personnel, dealing with PFAS in our region's drinking water or mining, and how can a divided government with competing goals and values effectively serve the people?
I think there's always opportunity for bipartisan agendas. And, you know, in fact, if you look at a lot of the work that gets done in Madison that unfortunately doesn't get the news because it may not be a hot topic, a lot of things are done bipartisan. But on some of the larger issues, as you point out, people tend to go to their own camp. I think there is opportunity for bipartisan support in some of the areas you mentioned because it's a way to move our economy forward. And that's, as I discussed, a driving issue for a lot of people. You mentioned PFAS. You know, PFAS is dealt with by a lot of communities throughout the state, including my own. And I think that we have to really start to take a hard look at the science and say, excuse me, what is cost effective for the citizens and balance that against safety. And if you look at, for instance, PFAS, you look at Canada, look at some of the European countries that have much higher parts per trillion standards on PFAS than the United States and standards that are being advocated for at the federal level and the state level here at home in Wisconsin. And I think that we really need to take a hard look at whether economically those results are achievable. And there should be bipartisan support on that because ultimately people are hurting. And trying to address issues like PFAS to get things down to infinitesimally low levels that may not have an effect on public health, and when you're hitting people at the ratepayer level, I think is a problem. Same goes with mining. You know, we have opportunities and natural resources in this state and throughout the country that that just goes back to the conversation about inflation and rising costs here at home. We are battling high gas prices when we have natural resources here in the United States that are accessible and when done right, I think can, you know, safely be accessed and used by citizens here in Wisconsin, here in the United States to keep our prices down so we're not dependent on our foreign partners and on foreign oil and beholden to that. So there should be bipartisan support for that when it's done right, because it ultimately is money that can be kept in the pockets of our citizens here in Wisconsin and in the United States.
What action should the Wisconsin legislature take in light of the recent Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade?
Well, you know, as Roe v. Wade was overturned, and I'm proud to be the first candidate in this Republican primary to have been endorsed by Wisconsin Right to Life, as Roe v. Wade was overturned, and I think it would, as a practicing attorney, someone that holds a law degree, I think it was wrongly decided in the 70s on the Constitution. The debate now returns to the states, including Wisconsin, and we have a statute on the books from 1849 that addresses that issue. And although laws may be old and some may be new, you know, those laws are still on the books. It wasn't a law that was repealed by the Wisconsin legislature after Roe v. Wade. And I think that it's important that our attorney general enforce the laws, as he should with all laws. At the legislative level, I think there will now be a discussion in the next session about what, if anything, needs to be done to modernize that statute, because certainly things have changed since 1849. One example is morning after pills, as they're sometimes referred to. Are those, if those come into the state across state lines, how are we going to control that? Is that considered, violative of the statute? I think it is. And, but that's stuff that would need to be addressed, because otherwise we're going to see an enormous amount of litigation over a statute that is quite old now. And we have to have a discussion about how we update that. But as I mentioned, I'm proud to be endorsed by Wisconsin Right to Life. I'm certainly very pro-life, and especially with a newborn at home. And as I tell voters I talk with, that I'll be doing everything I can to defend the unborn as I enter the legislature.
Mayor Jacobson, in the last minute remaining, please share the things that separate you from other candidates and what you want voters to know about you.
Sure. What separates me, I think, from others in this Republican primary is experience. I have effectively run a community for over 7 years now, and we have moved that community forward. We have accomplished a lot of things by working together, and that's what I plan to do in the legislature. I think that sets me apart from my competitors in the primary, and also having a platform. I think I am the one candidate in this primary that has actually consistently laid out a platform that I support, have discussed how to achieve that platform with the voters I've talked to, and I hope that resonates with them. And for those listening, I would be honored to have your vote on August 9th in the State Senate Republican primary for District 29.
Brent Jacobson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to special election coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio leading into the August 9th statewide primary. Here with us now to speak about his candidacy for the 29th Senate District is John Kaiser. He runs the J. Kaiser Management Investment Advisory Firm and an events promotion company, JK Productions, LLC. He is also pursuing a degree in finance. Mr. Kaiser, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.
First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and why you're running.
Absolutely. So I'm from the small town of Ingram in Russ County in the northern part of the district here. I have a business background. I'm a third-generation realtor, but I've been investing in the stock market since I was about 12 years old, and I've always been interested in businesses and numbers. So I'm a registered investment advisor with my company, J. Kaiser Management, where I manage retirement portfolios and also consult for businesses. And the reason I'm running is because I think there's a lot of common sense that's been lost in Madison. It's been gone for quite a while. And I see it at the doors. I hear it from everyone I talk to that Madison is out of touch with northern Wisconsin. And I want to run to be an ambassador for the northern part of Wisconsin.
If elected, what will your top priority be as a legislator?
Well, I'd say the number one thing is being able to build affordable housing. Being a realtor and having a lot of real estate development experience from my time down in South Florida, I know there's a lot of tools for builders and developers. But here in Wisconsin, most of the tools are for low-income housing or above-market rate housing. There's nothing really in that sweet spot for middle-class families or workforce housing, as we like to call it. So I'd like to be able to create a tool or a mechanism to incentivize building housing that's affordable for working people.
Turning our minds to the economy, what steps can be taken at the state level to address rising inflation and fears of a recession? And what legislative steps would you take?
Well, it's really a more of a Washington question when we're talking about inflation. I think it was needed to be addressed several years ago when the interest rates were dropped to zero. For such a long time, it allowed the economy to just go flying, which, whoever's in power is happy when the economy is doing very well. But unfortunately, as time goes on, that hurts you. And the Keystone Pipeline and some of the other decisions that was made by the current administration in the White House has hurt everything from gas prices to the price of groceries and everything. So I think the number one thing that we need to do here in the state of Wisconsin is make sure that our tax environment is in a way that the average citizen can afford to live. If we can get rid of the state income tax, that's more money in the pockets of everyday citizens, and that will help cover some of those costs as we're trying to battle inflation at the national level.
Where do you see opportunities for bipartisan cooperation on really big issues such as natural resource management and personnel, dealing with PFAS in our region's drinking water or mining? And how can a divided government with competing goals and values effectively serve the people of Wisconsin?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned mining because being from the Ladysmith area, we had a very successful mine, the Flambeau mine up in Ladysmith, which unfortunately had to be shut down due to the moratorium that was put in place. But the Ladysmith mine is a great example of a mine that was reclaimed without any environmental runoff or issues. And I think that's somewhere where we can come together, the left and the right, and say, look, we have these resources right here in our backyard. Let's find a way that we can mine these resources, process them in a centralized facility in northern Wisconsin, and do it in such a way that is environmentally conscious. Because I know the drinking water is a big issue up here, but also jobs and finding workforce has been a big issue as well. So I think if we can sit down, I'm happy to sit down on most issues when it comes to the economy. But I think mining is one of our biggest opportunities for economic development, and we can do it in a way that is a net neutral or net positive environmental impact.
Well, the second part of that question, too, is, you know, how can divided government with competing goals and values effectively serve the people?
Well, you have to sit down with someone who disagrees with you on most issues and be able to work with them. You know, I think when everything is going one direction, you listen to leadership and you do what leadership wants. When you're dealing with divided government, you have to kind of pick and choose who you're going to run with on different issues, and that allows for more things to get done in a bipartisan way. If we're in a way where the governor is still a Democrat and we have a Republican legislature, it doesn't help anything by just passing a bunch of bills just to be vetoed by the governor. If we can sit down and work with each other, that's how good legislation is passed and how things get done. And I commend Senator Petrowski for doing that for so many years, because he is truly an example of someone who can reach across the aisle and get things done.
And Mr. Kaiser, what action should the Wisconsin legislature take in light of the recent Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade?
Well, we're going to have to look at the law that was passed. I believe it was in 1849, so it's been on the books for a long time. Now, I'm endorsed by Pro-Life Wisconsin and Wisconsin Right to Life. I'm a Christian conservative, and I'm not going to compromise those values. But with that being said, I think there's a lot of funding issues that we're running into with pre and postnatal care, with child care, and helping women make these decisions with a good moral guide. And I think if we the current law is good as is, but I'd also like to probably revisit that with the other members of the legislature. I am a no exceptions. I have a no exceptions position on pro-life, but I think if we can look at some of these other funding initiatives to be able to have pre and postnatal care, to give mental health services and other women's health services, that's going to do a lot for these women that are facing these tough decisions.
We have about 2 minutes left, and I would like you to share the things that separate you from other candidates, and what else you'd like voters to know about you.
Well, absolutely. You know, I'm a common sense conservative. I'm just running to bring more basic common sense back to Madison. Now, the 29th Senate District has four unique assets. It has the North Woods, which is your Sawyer County, Rusk County area. It has agriculture in Southern Rusk County, Taylor County, Western Marathon County, Northern Wood County. It has the industrial assets of Rothschild, Weston, Schofield, and it has the financial asset in Wausau. And I believe I'm the only candidate in this race that can touch each four of those unique assets. I was born and raised in the Northwoods. I was born helping my neighbor farmers shovel manure and throw hay bales and pick rock. I'm a registered investment advisor with development experience in South Florida in the big city. And I am also on the Ladysmith Area Industrial Development Board, helping bring industrial and manufacturing businesses to our area. So I think I cover all four bases of this district, which is very important because there are always people that are marginalized in government. And I think northern Wisconsin has been marginalized for a long time, but also rural areas have been marginalized for a long time. As much as I love Wausau, there's a lot more to this district than just Marathon County. And I'd like to represent the entire district.
Mr. Kaiser, thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate it, Rick.
Corey Tomchek from Mosinee is also running in the Republican primary for this seat. Mr. Tomchek did not respond to our invitation to appear on this program. Located in western Wisconsin, the state's 68th Assembly District comprises portions of Eau Claire County, half of Clark County, as well as a portion of Chippewa County. The district includes the cities of Altoona, Greenwood, Stanley, and Thorpe. Republican Jesse James, who is seeking a state Senate seat in this election, currently represents the district. Here with us now to speak about her candidacy is Karen Hurd, one of three Republicans on the primary ballot. The top candidate will face off against Democrat Nate Otto in November. Karen Hurd, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Would you spend a couple minutes, please, tell us about yourself, your background, and why you're running?
Sure. A little bit about myself is I work as a nutritionist. I have a master's of science degree in biochemistry, as well as all my training in nutrition. And I have a small business. I own my own practice. I'm a Fall Creek Village trustee. I'm also a substitute teacher at the Fall Creek school system here. Serve on a board for senior housing. I'm also a library trustee. I'm a veteran. So that's a little bit about me. Why am I running for office? Well, when a person sees things going on in the world around you, and we know that they're going in the wrong direction, then it's incumbent upon that person to do something about it. And what can be done always depends on that individual's current responsibilities or talent or time restrictions. And for many people, it's our duty to vote, and that's what we do to help rectify the situations. And that might be the only action that we might be able to take. But for others, it's to be a leader or to organize groups to correct the issues and so on. So here I am at a place in my life that I have the time, I have the energy, I have the experience and the knowledge that I can devote to serving my country by being a public servant and helping to shape and lead our district and state to be free, to seek life, liberty, and happiness.
If you are elected, what will your top priority as a legislator be?
They will be to work on the concerns of the 68th district. And those concerns are very clear. As I've been visiting, I've knocked over 4,000 doors. I have been to multiple municipalities, and there's roughly 42 municipalities in the district. And these are the issues. They are roads. Roads is the biggest issue. Police coverage, broadband, high-speed internet, the accessibility to that, as well as emergency medical services and their availability, because we have mostly a rural community here.
What steps can be taken at the state level to address rising inflation and fears of a recession, and what legislative steps would you take?
Well, we have already a balanced budget. We keep a balanced budget here in the state of Wisconsin, and so that is very helpful. The states are required to have a balanced budget. To combat inflation, we have to get leaders in at the federal level to do the same if we have to balance the budget. And so it has to, as far as at the state level, all we can do is continue to use our money wisely as we have and keep our budget balanced and help our citizens as much as we can with that.
Where do you see opportunities for bipartisan cooperation on big issues such as natural resource management and personnel, dealing with PFAS in our region's drinking water, or mining? What can a divided government with competing goals and values effectively, how can that serve our people?
We have to get beyond this partisan fighting, and we have to work together. I am convinced that we can find creative solutions and innovative solutions that both parties can come together on to be able to do the best on these major issues that you've mentioned, as well as we have. I mentioned the broadband. That's a big issue, too. And we can work together, but we're going to have to talk to each other. And that is something I plan to do.
What action should the Wisconsin legislature take in the state in light of the recent Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade?
That is something that we have to evaluate because there's already a law in place, and so our state, the law is stating that abortion is not allowed unless the mother's life is in danger. And then two physicians have to confirm that her life is in danger. And so that law is already on the books. So what we have to do is hear from constituents. What do they see? What is it that the people of Wisconsin, that's my big thing, listen to your people. What do our people want? What are we doing, you know, to help our constituents? And so, and is there a compromise, just what I said before? Is there a compromise? Is there a way that we can help and meet the needs of all the people? And so that has to be investigated.
Strong schools are really a key to a healthy economy and workforce. What should legislators do to ensure students have access to the highest quality primary education possible?
That is excellent, yes, and schools are a high priority. I take it we're talking at a secondary level, not at the college level. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about public schools, yes. Okay, yes. We need to allow parents to find the school that is best for their child. Some children will do better in like one of these charter schools out here in the 68th district. We have Beaver Creek. It's the Wildland School is what it is, but it's associated with the Beaver Creek Reserve, but it's Wildland School. I'd say it's associated. It's right there on the same property. And so it is really helps those children that need to learn in that manner. And so we need to allow parents to find the best educational choice for their child without requiring them to go to a certain place.
Following up on the education question, Karen, how can the legislature serve Wisconsin students in meaningful ways in light of constricted budgets and ongoing cultural controversies?
The cultural controversies is one of the most grievous things that I see because the people, we are all people. We are all of one race. There's only one race, and it's the human race when it comes to people. I mean, obviously, there's other, you know, kinds, you know, there's dogs and cats. But as far as humans, there is only one race. And our DNA is almost identical across the board as far as liver function and all the functions we have. And there's only a few of those genomes that dictate our color and what people group that we come from. And that should not ever come into schools or anything for all people. And how do we legislate that? You know, your question more specifically at the state level is to make sure people understand that we're all one. We're all one together. And so we treat us the same, all of us.
In the 2 minutes remaining, please share some things that separate you from the other candidates in this race and what else you'd like voters to know about you.
Yes. What would separate me is that I have 30 years of small business experience. I incorporated a little over 26 years ago, but I was actually practicing before. And so small business experience comes in wonderfully. I also have military service experience and also have public service experience, as I'm already serving in the public realm as a village trustee. I also have writing and oratory skills that I've developed over the years. As far as anything else that I'd like the public to know about me, yes. May God bless America.
Karen Hurd, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Here with us now to speak about her candidacy is Hillary Roth, one of three Republicans on the primary ballot. Hillary, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Shireen. I really appreciate it.
Well, tell us about yourself. What is your background and what made you decide to run?
So my background is really quite varied. By profession, I am a registered nurse, primarily with emergency room trauma experience. I fell out of nursing to raise my family, and I always thought I'd go back, and I ended up not going back. Instead, I fell into a radio career for a number of years. From there, I've transitioned into other things. My husband and I raise our children by the motto, I can't change the world, but I can work really, really hard to make our corner of it a better place. And it's that service that has led me to seek this office, and it's that heart of service that's led me to be a police and fire commissioner, to be a school board member, to be active on a number of other boards and councils. So it's the heart for service and really truly believing that I can be a positive impact in my corner of the world that's led me to this.
Ultimately, if you're elected, what would your top priority be as a legislator?
My top priority would absolutely be backing the blue. As a police and fire commissioner for the city of Altoona, I see firsthand the challenges that are facing our law enforcement and ultimately all of our EMS services today. And I, as I've been going throughout my district and talking to folks throughout the district, the 68th district, that's what I'm hearing a lot of people concerned with as well. A lot of these smaller communities with volunteer fire services are having a really hard time finding firefighters, finding businesses who will let their employers be on a volunteer service to go serve their communities in those emergency situations. Our police departments obviously are struggling as well with fewer people entering those workforce areas and wanting to put themselves out there in today's climate. So I would say police and fire is a huge priority, but also that education piece of it. I am on the school board for Altoona, so I really do see the education piece and the importance of parent choice in education. So those would be my top two platforms.
A lot of talk right now about economy and the inflation rising, fears of a recession. What do you think legislatively could be done to help control those issues?
I think we need to get people working, and that's going to be a huge part of it. You know, inflation, a big part of it is being fueled by our supply chain issues and our supply chain shortages. And it's all that compression of higher gas prices, not being able to get goods, not being able to have people work because we can't get goods. So I think we need to get people working. I think we need to really hammer in and control this inflation and get it under control.
Let's talk a little bit about bipartisan cooperation. This is a very divided government. Where do you see opportunities for bipartisan cooperation on big issues facing the state? And how can a divided government with competing goals and values effectively serve the people?
The divided government, I think, is a real problem. Myself, I find myself really trying to build relationships in all realms that I function in. I try to build relationships with individuals based on our common ground, and there is common ground. And I think on both sides of the aisle, really, we're all there to serve because we all care deeply about our communities and all want to serve our communities. So I think what's really important is to get down to that relational level, build bridges based on our common ground, and then find middle of the road solutions to the differences. I think that that can be done, but I think that we need leadership that is going to help and foster that in happening and not continue to divide, because that's not working for anyone. So let's build those bridges together and find some solutions.
One of the big topics of the day these days is abortion. What action should the Wisconsin legislature take in the state in light of the recent Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade?
Yeah, you know, with the Roe v. Wade coming down, that has opened up a lot of issues. And it's a hot topic for sure. I am endorsed by Wisconsin Right to Life. I am pro-life. I think that as legislators, we need to recognize now that we need to be funding some of these pregnancy centers. We need to provide resources to women and families to support those pregnancies. And our pregnancy resources, our pregnancy resource centers throughout the state are a huge asset. They are there. They are running and functioning. If we are going to be pro-life, we need to support our pregnancy resource centers for sure.
Now, you are a school board member, and let's talk about education. Strong schools, obviously a key to a healthy economy and workforce. What should legislators do to ensure that students have access to the highest quality primary education that they possibly can have?
When we're looking at education, one of my background areas, I was actually on the board a while back for the Wisconsin Association for Talented and Gifted. So very honestly, that is where part of my heart lies. And I think that an area that we're really falling down in the state is not challenging our strongest learners and our most advanced learners. We're looking at kids who are advanced learners that are not engaged in education, kind of falling off the radar and losing interest in school, checking out by sixth grade. We need to support all learners throughout the state, but I think that if we aren't supporting more of our advanced learners, we're losing huge portions of our workforce. We're losing huge, vast swaths of potential within our state. So I think we need to do better at serving all learners, not just specific learners, and making sure that learners are not falling through the cracks. I think that a huge portion of that is putting parents' voices more into the picture. I strongly believe that parents know best what is right for their children. They know their children better than anyone. And parents should have a voice at the table and need to have a voice at the table. So I do believe in school choice, and I do believe in parent choice in education to find those right fits for students out there, all students of all learning styles, of all ethnic and you know, backgrounds. We need to support all learners.
We have just under 2 minutes remaining in our time together, and I want to give you the opportunity to share the things that separate you from the other candidates and what you want voters to know about you when they head to the polls.
Yeah, so I mentioned, you know, I am pro-life for sure. I have been a police and fire commissioner for the last number of years. I've served my community in big ways and small ways. Over the years, I've done everything from, you know, maintaining parks and clearing trails at parks to help people enjoy them. I'm willing to do the hard work for sure, and I really just want to serve my community and, and meet people and hear what their needs are as well. I am also a chief inspector for the elections here in the city of Altoona, so election integrity is something that I've already been fighting for a number of years. And, you know, I have that heart of service, and I want to meet people and serve people in the 68th District, and I am passionate about doing that.
Thank you, Hillary Roth, Republican candidate for Wisconsin's 68th Assembly seat, for joining us today.
Chris Connell from Eau Claire is also running in the Republican primary for this seat. Mr. Connell did not respond to our invitation to appear on this program. This has been special election coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio. The primary in Wisconsin is August 9th. You can find all of our election coverage at wpr.org/election22. Next week, we'll feature primary candidates for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District and the state's 87th Assembly.